help to you. I did not come to entertain you. I came to try to let God speak to your heart. That's what we're here for, so that the Lord can meet a spiritual need in our life. And I spend time, every place I go, Lord, give me something that these people can use. Give me something to give them that'll help them in their Christian life. And so this morning in our Sunday school hour, I'm going to teach on the subject of soul winning. Do you know that the way to build a church is the same way that it was back in the Bible days when Jesus was here upon the earth? Amen. He is telling other people about the Lord. He says, telling people about the Lord and living a separated life, that's the key. But many people don't know how, and many people don't get involved in it. But everyone needs to be involved in this thing, what they call soul winning. Soul winning. There's some literature back on the table that can help you with that. But I want to give a verse as an introduction, and that's in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Philippians 4, verse number 8, he says, finally, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and right at the last chapter, he says, finally, brethren, and so he's getting ready to say, the last thing that people say is usually a very important thing. And he says in Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. And of course, the key to that is keep our mind clean. Keep our mind thinking about good things and proper things. And you know that if we think about good things, then we'll be thinking about the condition of people that we happen to run into. I ran into a lot of people yesterday, some of you that are sitting here. And I remember I went to Africa one time on a missions trip, and the missionary that I was with, he said, you know, we've been here 20 years, and you're the first preacher that's ever come to see us. I thought that was interesting. But anyway, I was there, and we were driving down the road going about 300 miles back toward Liberia, I think, out of Cote d'Ivoire, Abidjan, Africa. And there were ladies walking down the road. And there were men walking down the road. But all the ladies had stuff on their head, carrying it. The men weren't carrying anything. That was a pretty good deal, having the ladies carry everything and the men didn't carry anything, you know. But anyway, I said to the missionary, every one of those people is a soul for whom Christ died.
Amen.
Then I came back to the United States, and I got under conviction. I'd never said that about America, driving down the road.
That's good.
You know, drive down the highway and the interstate, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars. Every one of them are filled up with people that's a soul for whom Jesus died.
Amen.
If we would start becoming soul conscious, and remembering that everybody's going to go somewhere. You're going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. I understand, Anthony, that you got saved. You asked Jesus to save you. Isn't that great?
Amen.
It's wonderful to have Jesus in your heart. But do you know that, you know why Anthony's saved? Because you all care about people like Anthony. You all care about him, and you don't want him to go to hell. You want him to go to heaven. And so we need to be conscious of the condition of people that we run into every day, every place that we go. Oh, it's Andrew, right? Andrew, that's Anthony right there. Okay. And so, Andrew, I got it straight now because I saw you all smiling and knew there was something wrong. Okay. Well, you know, there's some things that you ought to do before you go soul winning. One is you ought to get things right with God in your heart.
Amen.
You ought to confess your sin, and you ought to do that every day. You ought to go to the Lord and pray and say, God, whatever there is in my life that's not clean and proper and good, would you help me to know what it is so I can ask you to forgive me? And you can ask the Lord to forgive you for losing your temper or thinking a bad thought or doing a wrong deed or talking to your mom or dad how you ought not to be talking to them or not being as good to your wife or your husband as you ought to be. Whatever it is that God reveals to you that's in your life, then you need to ask the Lord to forgive you so you'll be a clean vessel fit for the Master's use. So ask the Lord to cleanse you and confess your sin. Second, yield yourself to the Lord so that you'll be aware of people's condition. Yield yourself to the Lord. Talk to God and obey God. And when God tells you to do something, then you ought to do it. And there'll be many times that God will speak to you about speaking to people about the Lord. Then ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit, you know, that He might lead you and direct you in what He wants you to do. I think, do you know that God wants people saved more than you want them saved? Because He died on Calvary, sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross that you might be able to be born again because He shed His blood for you. And so He wants them saved really bad. And so since He wants them saved really bad, then He is going to help you to win people to Christ if you're interested in doing that, because He doesn't have any other way to get people saved other than you and I telling Him. He says, that's the way. He could write it. He could have all the clouds write in English or Spanish, whichever it is that you like, in the sky and tell the plan of salvation. He could do that if He wanted to, but He didn't choose to do that. He could have the birds. There's birds that talk. You know, He could have all the birds talk and have all of them tell the plan of salvation around the world. He could do that, but He didn't choose to do that. He chose that you and I are the ones that are to spread the gospel and tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so since He wants people saved more than you and I want them saved, then He will lead you to the one that's looking for the Lord.
Amen.
If you will pray and say, God, I don't know who there is here in Phoenix, Glendale this is, but Phoenix area, that I don't know who there is in town here that wants to know you as Savior. But God, you do, and would you lead me by their path or lead them by my path? And I'll try to be very aware of the Holy Spirit. And you just tap me on the shoulder, Lord, and let me know that that's the person, and I'll talk to them about your soul, about their soul. And I don't have time this morning. I may give you an illustration or two, but I could tell you hundreds of illustrations about people that God has led me to and said, that's the person right there. Go talk to them. And I'd go talk to them and tell them about the Savior, and they got saved. I remember one time my wife and I and my family were going to Hot Springs, Arkansas. We were going to have a good time together, and we were going to go swimming, but we were looking around to try to find a private place to go swimming, because we didn't go swimming in these places where everybody's three quarters undressed, you know, and stuff like that. No, we didn't go. We wanted to find a private place. And so we were looking around, and we hadn't found any place yet. And so I was driving out of this cul-de-sac area where I had driven in, and there was a man walking down the road. And I said, well, let's stop and ask him. Maybe he knows a place we can go swimming. So pulled up there and rolled down the window, and he said, well, you can go swimming behind my house. Nobody's there. It's all private. And I said, wonderful. Where do you live? He says, just right up here. Just follow me. And so I turned around, followed him up there, and the kids all went in swimming in the backyard there, and they had a little pier and stuff there, went out into the water, and they were having a great time. And I said, what were you doing walking down the road? And he says, oh, I just went down to the post office, and I was on my way back from the post office, and I was looking up into the sky, and I said, God, if you're real, would you send somebody to tell me about you?
Oh, praise God. Yeah. Amen.
And so I said, well, God's just answered your prayer. Sit down there on the pier, and I'll be right back. And I went to my car, got my Bible, came back, sat down there on the pier, and showed him the Word of God. And in about 20 or 30 minutes, he prayed, and he asked Jesus to come into his heart to save his soul. He was looking for the Lord.
Amen.
And if I would have been more sensitive to the Lord at that time, God would have told me before He even asked me about it. But man, I could tell you about people that have just said, hey, that's the person right over there, and went over and talked to them and told them about the Lord. Now, understand that it's a little bit normal for you to be afraid to go soul winning. Do you know that I've been a pastor? I pastored 46 years before I became an evangelist, and I've been an evangelist now for almost 5 years. And I still am apprehensive about going soul winning. I used to be scared to death. But I got over being scared to death. Now I'm just a little bit apprehensive and afraid. But I do go soul winning.
Amen.
You know why? Because that's the command in the Bible. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ and so on. And so I do go out and talk to people about the Lord. But it's normal to be a little bit afraid when you go. You're afraid somebody's not going to be very receptive. You're afraid somebody's going to be mean to you. You're afraid they're going to be mad at you. You're afraid you're going to ask a question that you won't be able to answer. And all kinds of things like that. There's some things that you can do to overcome your fear of going soul winning. One is you could memorize a plan of salvation. Memorize a few verses of the Bible, 5 or 6 verses or something like that, that you can go from one to the next and the next, and it'll help you to not be afraid.
Amen.
Because you'll know what you're going to say. Okay? Also, you can pray and ask God to help you to not be afraid, and God will answer your prayer. Then also, you can realize that Jesus is going to be with you. He says, I'll never leave you, never forsake you.
That's right. Amen.
And so He is with you wherever you are. And then also, don't be afraid of making mistakes. Do you know that everybody makes mistakes?
Amen.
But that individual that you're talking to, if they're not saved, they're on their way to hell. And you're not going to send them further to hell than they're already going, even if you make a mistake.
Right.
So don't worry about making a mistake. And if they ask you a question that you don't know the answer to, say, that's a very good question. And I'll tell you what, I'll ask my preacher or I'll go to the Bible and find the answer to that question. And then I'll come back and answer it for you later. Or, that's a very good question. And if you will ask me again when I'm finished showing you these verses, then I'll try my best to answer it. Something like that. But don't be afraid of them asking a question that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
That's not a big deal. I mean, He doesn't know the answer to everything in the world either. There's nobody that knows everything. So don't be embarrassed if you don't know the answer to it. Also, you cannot do more harm than good. You can't. So don't worry about, I sure messed it up and now they'll never get saved because of me messing it up. No. God can take even the bad thing that you say and turn it around to His good.
Amen.
I remember a story, Brother Schaefer, about a man, you may have even heard it years ago, that was in church, and the preacher at the end of the message, he would always say, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed, but he had a young man in his church that was a little bit short of a load. Do you know what I'm talking about? He wasn't very smart, and he was set back in the back, and the preacher said, bow your head and close your eyes. Well, he would peek through his fingers, you know, and once in a while, somebody in his area of the church there would raise their hand. And the preacher, he had been trying for months to get this one particular guy to come to church, and he was an attorney. And so he finally got this attorney, this lawyer, to come to church. And during the invitation, this attorney raised his hand for salvation. But that guy in the back was peeking. And the preacher said, oh, Lord, don't let him go over and talk to my attorney. Don't let him go over there. He'll mess it up. And then, man, the guy will never get saved. And so sure enough, the guy was peeking. And then they started singing the song. And he slipped out of his seat. The guy that was a little bit short of a load went over there, said something to the man. The man turned sideways and got his wife's arm. And both of them walked out of the church and they left. And he thought, oh, no, I'll never get him back. And so after church, he talked to this fellow. He says, what in the world did you say to my attorney? And he said, well, I just went over and asked him if he wanted to go to heaven. And he says, no, leave me alone. And I just said, well, go to hell then. That's what he said. And the preacher says, oh, man, I'll never win this guy to the Lord. But do you know what? That afternoon, about 3 p.m, this attorney called up the preacher on the phone. And he told the story just like I told it to you. And he said, "Preacher, I don't want to go to hell. Would you come over and show me how to get to heaven?"
Amen.
And he went over to his house and led the attorney friend to Christ. And you and I would think, goodness, guy, that guy blew it, man. That guy will never get saved now. But God took even the thing that he said that was wrong and used it for his glory. And the guy came to Christ. So don't worry about saying the wrong thing or being afraid of things like that. And then also, be more concerned about somebody getting converted and truly getting saved than getting somebody to repeat a prayer so you can come back and tell the preacher, "Hey, I led somebody to the Lord."
That's good, bro.
You know, hey, there's a lot of people out there that have gone through the motions and said a prayer and said, "Jesus, come into my heart, save my soul, amen. Okay, I'm going to heaven now." And then somebody goes to visit and say, "Hey, did you die today? You going to heaven?" They say, "Yeah, I prayed that prayer a long time ago." But they're still living like the devil and they never were born again. There's a lot of people going to go to hell that prayed the sinner's prayer but never meant it at all. You know, if you got saved for just for repeating a prayer, I could pull out a .45 and point it at you and say, "Repeat after me or I'll blow your head off." And get everybody to go ahead and pray the prayer. If that was all there was to it, then, man, we could force people to say it, put their arm behind their back and twist it way up there and say, "Pray after me, you know, and Lord Jesus, come into my heart," and so on. But that doesn't save a person. Has to, from with the, a man prays with their mouth, but it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And you have to be under conviction of your sin and repent of your sin. And let me just say that if you have ever asked Jesus into your heart as your Savior and there hadn't been any change in your life, you're not saved.
Amen.
You're just a pretender. And you need to get truly born again by the blood of Christ. When Christ comes in, old things are passed away and all things are become new. You're not going to be perfect once you get saved, but you're going to want to be. You're going to try to do right. You're going to try to live right. You're going to try to be what God wants you to be. And so another thing to do would be to carry a New Testament with you.
Amen.
And to carry tracts with you. Have them in your purse or in your pocket or whatever so that you can tell people about Jesus. You know, always have a tract ready to give somebody to the Lord. Now, my wife and I, we have to pick up tracts wherever we happen to go because these happen to be from your church, Vision Baptist Church, Glendale, Arizona. Because if I gave one to somebody and it had Lions, New York on it, they're probably not going to come and visit us, you know, in Lyons, New York. But they may come and visit you after they read the tract, okay? So carry a New Testament with you and carry some tracts. And then also be conscious about your own personal self. In other words, I always carry like breath mints in my pocket, you know, something like that. Because who wants to listen to somebody talk about the Lord if they got to go, you know, if they got to go like that while you're talking? Nobody. Okay, so carry some breath mints, and it might be a good idea to take a shower at least once a week, you know, or two, you know, something like that. You won't have those things to overcome when you're leading somebody to the Lord. Okay, now let me just say that you ought to be concerned enough about souls that you win some of people on purpose. Throughout your life, though, you'll win some people accidentally, like Steve Chandler, the guy in Arkansas that I led to the Lord that I told you about there in Hot Springs, Arkansas. That was accidental. I mean, anybody could have led him to the Lord. How many people have ever come up to you and say, "Hey, I'd like to get to heaven. Can you tell me how?" I mean, that'd be a good idea if everybody would do that, but you won't find that happen very often. And then when you talk to people, have eye contact. Life says, "Anthony? Right? Is that Anthony? Good to see you." And look him right in the eye. Okay? And it's good to do that. You know, have eye contact with the person. "Anthony, good to see you." He says, "You're not even looking at me. You idiot." You know? Right? No. You know, you want to look him in the eye. Have some facial contact. And then when you're talking to somebody about the Lord, you need to ask him a question once in a while to find out if they're listening to you. And so I'm going along and I say in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, "For all, or as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Verse 23, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then I say, "Now, what is that saying? Is that saying that everybody's a sinner? And see, then he would agree, you know, and make sure that he's listening to you. You ask him questions. If you don't ask any questions, you have no, they may be thinking about, hope this guy hurries up and gets done because I've got a lot to go, a lot of things to do today, and I'm not paying any attention to what he's saying, and he not listening at all, and it's no good for you to talk for 20 minutes if he's not paying any attention. So you want to ask him a question or two as you're going along. Make sure that they're listening to what you have to say. Eye contact and make sure they're listening. And then show them the verse in the Bible. You have a New Testament, turn it around, and pretty soon you'll have it all memorized. And you can underline those verses and say, hey, that verse that I have underlined right there, what does that one say? Now, they may not be able to read, or if they can read, maybe they can't read very good. So don't embarrass them. Say, now that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you see. So you show them the verse, but you don't make them read it unless they go ahead and read it out loud to you, then that's fine. But if you don't want to embarrass them because they may not be able to read. And so the Bible says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. What's that saying? That the Bible is powerful. My words maybe not very powerful, but the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it speaks to your heart. You know, it's amazing that the Word of God is such a thing that the preacher can preach it, and you're sitting in the pew, and you have one need, and you have a different need, and you have a different need, and you have a different need, and the Holy Spirit of God can take the Word of God as the preacher preaches it and meet your need, and your need, and your need, and your need. He can meet everybody's need through the preaching of the Word of God. And after the message is over, you go by the preacher and you say, man, you preached exactly what I needed today. He didn't even know what you needed, but the Holy Spirit of God did, and he helped the message of God to meet your particular need in your life. And by the way, it has not a lot to do with soul winning, but when you come to church, you ought to look to get something out of the services.
Amen.
You ought to be hungry. You know, like if you're going to have a potluck dinner, you go by and, now at a potluck dinner, you go by and say, well, I like some of this. I don't want none of that. But I'd like a little bit of this. I don't like that stuff. But, you know, you're pretty picky. But whenever you hear the Word of God, you ought to receive it all.
Amen.
Because all the Scripture is by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, instruction, and righteousness. And so ask God to help you to get something out of the message as it's preached. It says, I need something today. I need it for the strength that I need, for strength to make it through this week. I'm carrying a burden and I need God's help. And you sit there and listen and soak it up and get the thing that God wants you to get out of the services today. After you lead somebody to Christ, they pray after you showed them Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then they prayed, they've repented of their sins, they've asked Jesus to save them. Then it's good to show them, say, now listen, you don't have to do this again next week.
Amen.
And you can go to the book of 1 John, chapter 5. Verse 11, 12, and 13, where it says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. So here's how, where God says, here's how you know you're going to heaven. And he says, he that hath the Son hath life. If you have the Lord Jesus, you have life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So it all depends on whether you have Jesus in your heart. Did you pray and ask Jesus to save you? Yeah. Did you mean it, or were you just pretending? Oh, I really meant it. Jesus is in your heart. And he says, if you hadn't have done it, and I hadn't have come by and talked to you today, and you'd have got killed this afternoon, where would you have gone? You've gone to hell because you didn't have Christ in your heart yet. And so, and then he says, why did God write that to us? Well, verse 13 says, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. So he gave you those things, that verse, so that you could know you're going to heaven. So where are you going to go when you die? Going to heaven, because Jesus is in your heart, because you've been born again. You got repented of your sin and asked Jesus to save you. Now, Folks, there's a lot of places that you can win people to the Lord. I've led people to the Lord at gas stations. I've led people to the Lord on the street. I've led people to the Lord in a house and all different places. I was in Manitowoc, Wisconsin about a year ago, and I had just left a revival meeting there, and I was on my way to down to Chicago area in northern Indiana, and my motorhome would only get up, that particular revival, my wife was not with me, and the motorhome would only get up to about 30 miles an hour. I thought, man, this is terrible. I said, man, I've got the fuel pump must be stopped up again. About once a year, the fuel pump, or the fuel filter on diesel things, they clog up a little, and then the gas, the diesel won't get through there, and you can't get speed. And so I had a new fuel filter in my trailer, so I thought, well, I'm going to stop in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, at a gas station and change that fuel filter. So I pulled in there, was changing the fuel filter, and up comes a guy. It's 2 o'clock in the morning, and he's pushing a motor scooter. And he says, hey, could you jump my motor scooter with the jumper cables, you know? I said, sure, I can do that in just a few minutes as soon as I get done with this fuel filter. I finished putting the fuel filter on the motorhome, and then turned around and started talking to this young man. And about 30 minutes later, that young man bowed his head and prayed and asked Jesus into his heart to be his Savior, got born again. In 1972, I started a church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. But now I was just back visiting at that gas station and led this man to the Lord. Do you know that he got saved there, and after he got saved, we went over there and I jerked the motor scooter back a little bit. And I heard something click. And I said, well, try it. And he turned the key and it started right up. Yeah. And what happened is the starter had a little gear and it was caught on the flywheel, and he would hit it and it wouldn't do nothing. He thought the battery was dead. But God had it to click on that so it wouldn't move. And then I had the opportunity to talk to him about Jesus. And as soon as we got in, I didn't even have to jump him. It just started right up. And so that was an exciting thing. I remember one night I was in Hammond, Indiana. It's only 5 blocks from First Baptist Church of Hammond, which you may have heard of. I had just preached at Northside Baptist Church in Hammond. And we went out to eat, me and the preacher, at a Cracker Barrel. And after we were the last ones to leave Cracker Barrel. Can't believe that preacher and I, we talked so much that we were there that long. But then we started talking to the manager of Cracker Barrel about the Lord. We were the only ones there. And the manager, his name was Sean Frey, F-R-E-Y. He got saved there in Cracker Barrel. Man, isn't that great? You could lead somebody to go. I was down in Florida not long ago, about a year and a half ago, and at an RV park. And there was a guy there on a Ford tractor with a mower on the back. And I went up and started talking to him. And about 20 minutes later, the guy on the mower bowed his head and asked Jesus into his heart to be his personal Amen. Savior. Folks, over and over again. And you could do it too. Amen. You don't have to be smart to win somebody to Christ. You just have to be obedient. Amen. And everybody can do it. If you're born again, you could do it. And if you would pray, say, God, I'm not a good talker. I can't do it very good. But Lord, would you lead somebody to me that's looking for you, or lead me to them? And you'll find somebody that's looking for the Lord and be able to talk to them about Jesus and lead them to Christ. Wouldn't you love, Anthony, to lead somebody to the Lord, to get somebody saved just like you? Wouldn't that be great? Amen.
Andrew.
Anthony. Okay. Hey, pay attention to what I mean, not what I say. Okay. Anyway, God bless you. Wouldn't it be great, Andrew, to lead somebody to Christ just like you and get them to heaven? You could do it. You could do it too, Anthony. Amen. And I'm sorry, if you guys don't like each other, you need to become friends after I get done, you know. Our time is gone. It is a quarter till, and sorry the time went so fast here for me, but we can have church service and pray that God will speak to your heart. Let's everybody try to win somebody to the Lord this coming week.
Amen.
Just talk to somebody about the Lord, wherever you happen to be, and try to win somebody to the Lord. Everybody's having problems. And most people, what they want is somebody that'll care about them.
That's right.
And if you will care, then you'll be able to lead some people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we've had together. I pray that you would bless the message.